Jake, look at this picture I'm texting you right now. And tell me if you know what that is. This is the post from Conor McGregor's IG. And look what look what McGregor posted. The words also under the picture. Jamie Bluma is in studio with us. What's up, Bluma? How you doing?
I'm good. Good morning.
How you been?
I've been good.
Did you listen to Nate and Jake's written test that they had earlier in the show?
I did. I whiffed a couple myself.
What? Okay, be honest.
Escobar, I got. I was shocked that
I got
that.
Who did you miss?
I missed Randa, and as a teammate.
Okay, but that was close. He was right there, just above 1,000. You know, who else did you miss?
Freddie Patek.
Okay.
Yeah. And Butler.
Just everyone whiffed on
for
Billy.
Whatever, just didn't pop into my head.
And that I felt
all three of you guys missed on Billy.
Well, I kept thinking there's got to be a guy that I was trying to think of guys that had long careers with the Royals and. And I can't believe I didn't think of... I mean, Billy Butler was a really bad whiff on my part.
Yep, same here. Really Mayberry whiff. Was in my brain on there that I thought he was here long enough.
Yep.
Jake had him. I thought it was good, though.
I think I might get this list framed.
Who was the Daryl Porter? Who said Daryl Porter?
I did.
Nate.
I know a couple that popped into my head, but I did not write down were...
honestly,
Balboni.
Like...
Balboni.
Thought about him.
Yeah. For a second.
For a second.
Nah.
Right.
Not long enough.
Not long enough. I wrote John Mayberry.
Yeah, that was one that was in my head, too.
Also, thank you to Royals Review, who tweeted out that list last night and gave me the idea for that segment. And if you're not following Royals Review on Twitter and you're a Royals fan, I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm kind of angry with Royals Review
well,
now.
Why?
Because, you know, Jake's going to be... holding that list over my head for the rest of my life.
I will never bring that up ever again. I doubt
this stat boy. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you,
like,
the way I did that list, like, okay, so like, you know, the five for me from growing up, you know, Brett, you know, White, you know, Wilson, you know, Otis, you know, McCray.
Yeah.
And then from there, then you kind of go, okay, Alex Gordon played here forever, Mike Sweeney. But then after that, it was like, okay, Billy Butler, I felt good about that. I'd have never got Escobar. That's the guy that was on the list. I'd have never got him. And I don't think I would have got Hosmer. I wouldn't have believed Hosmer, but I would have put Hosmer in there anyway just because I want him on my list.
So that's kind of how I was with Hosmer, Escobar, as far as, you know, time that they'd spent here. And then to hear you talk about Amos, I'm fortunately have gotten to spend a little bit of time around Amos with alumni and stuff, and just enjoy hearing and talking to him. He's just so chill,
dude.
Low key.
It was terrible. I was so nervous.
Solid dude.
I mean, he was, ayo, when I'm doing that, he wanted to leave so bad. Like, stop it. Stop doing that.
We should get him back in town a few times
to come in here
for golf tournaments and stuff like that. So I'll see what he's doing.
Because I think that not enough people recognize how great he was and how long he played here and how fantastic he was.
I didn't realize he played 14 years here. I honestly didn't. That was before I was in town.
And so I like to remind people.
From what I understand and remember, and I remember going to the games, and my mom and dad loved him. We had a dog named Otis when I was a kid. We had a dog named Otis, a cat named Rojas, and then later on we got another dog named Brett. Those were our family pets. And
he played here from 1970 until 1983.
I mean, the way my dad always described him, he was a five-tool player. You know, he could hit for power, he could hit for average, he could run. He had a good throwing arm. He was a good defensive player. I'm listing off all the five tools for that.
Thank you.
He finished.
You're welcome, Lou.
To remind you this, maybe
in case
Jake,
you didn't know,
maybe Jake, this will get you. You know, he finished four times. He finished in the top 10 in MVP voting with the Royals. He finished eighth. He finished third and won a Gold Glove in 1973. All-Star game, third in MVP voting and Gold Glove. He finished seventh in 76. And then he finished fourth in the MVP voting in 78. He was incredible.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Listen, in 1978, his slash line was .298, a .380 on base, .525 slug, 30 doubles, 7 triples, 22 homers, 96 ribbies, 32 steals. I mean, just, you know, doing it all.
My dad loved Dave Masoda so much that he basically never liked Willie Wilson as a player because he refused to acknowledge.
I feel like that's taking it too far.
That's my dad. Hurtful. I mean, that's my dad. Oh, Dave Masoda's hit for power. This guy doesn't hit for any power. I mean, I'd hear that every year we'd go to the games, you know. Dave Masoda's hit home runs.
I say that, but I was angry. I had an irrational dislike for every first baseman here in the last couple of years that wasn't Hosmer. And now I like Carlos Santana.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, you know what? You'll do.
But I would say that the first baseman following Hosmer haven't been anything special. Willie Wilson was like a really, really good baseball player.
Yeah. Okay,
but my dad was just like, no, he's no Dave Masoda.
Do you know who I... Okay, so I hated...
Different player.
Listen, then he had a great rookie year. I hated Kevin Seitzer.
Because I felt like
he pushed... This guy pushed George Bell to first base. Third base is George Brett.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how my dad was with Amos Otis and Cookie Rojas.
I was pissed off at him as a kid, and so I did not enjoy his rookie year. And I believe, if I'm right, he finished second in the rookie of the year voting to Mark McGwire.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's eating McGwire that year. And then I was mad when he went 6-for-6 because Brett never went 6-for-6. And so I was mad about that. And so I love Sites now, but just when he was playing, I was mad because in my mind, I'll give you a little background. That's why I was never a big fan of Bo Jackson, because I felt like he came here and he took the spotlight away from George Brett. Why is this guy taking the spotlight from George Brett? Like, he came here, that's what he's gonna do. Like, why is this guy? You need to tell me this guy to come here and take the spotlight from George. And then
George Brett,
and like talking to George about it, nothing could be further from the truth. But as a teenager, the this guy's going to come in here, and he's going to try to
And then
take
he goes
George
and plays
Brett.
For the Raiders. I mean, that makes you hate him that much
you
more.
Oh, yeah, you son of a... You know, I ain't going to... You know, that was the other part. It was a double-pronged dislike.
I get it.
Right? And so now that makes sense to me, what you're saying about your dad.
Yeah, he did. And honestly, he felt that way about Frank White for a while, too. Because Cookie Rojas. He loved Cookie Rojas, you know? And he was like, hey, force Cookie Rojas out.
I felt that way about every closer since Bluma. Like, you ain't Bluma. Get the hell off this mound.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
Whoa.
I had you in the rotisserie, and I touted
that.
You. I said, this guy pitched at Wichita State. This guy lived in the College World Series. He come up here and save games. I remember when you made your debut. I was right. And you guess what?
That was not pretty.
You were not well.
I feel
there was a point where I was not trading you.
Moment?
I ain't trading Bluma. I've got the Royals' future closer.
Yes.
What do you? I remember just my friend Brian. What do you want for Bluma? I'm not trading him.
Bucket of chicken.
Right. In retrospect, I love you, but
I should have traded a bucket of chicken.
I should have traded you for
a
King's ransom.
I think it's honestly kind of why I mistreat Gary Lezak every day when Bluma's in because it's like, oh, he just forced Bluma out.
Right.
You know, this guy comes in strutting in here.
I do feel that way.
Yeah. Most guests do. Just letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Salvador Perez, 1,000 hits. That's what started this long conversation about great players in Royals history. He goes 4-for-4 last night. We'll talk about the loss in a minute. But Salvi, I mean, now he's going to be
here. I thought
he
had more hits than that.
Did you? Did that surprise you?
It shocked me, actually. I had just gotten home from doing lessons and didn't get to see the first part of the game. And then I think it was his second at bat or he's X amount of hits away from. And I'm like, really?
Honestly,
like he doesn't have 1,000 hits already. He's been here for 15 years.
When I was compiling my list, the reason I didn't pick Escobar or Hosmer, I was like, if it took Salvi another 3 years after those guys left to get to 1,000, then there's no way those other guys got to 1,000 that quickly.
Because I knew how many games he plays every single year, and he's been good offensively. It just didn't compute at first. I'm like, goodness.
He's had over 100 hits every year since going back to 2013.
Well, I know we talked about it last week about how his home run total had gone up every single year for 6 straight years, I think. He read that off last week in here. So I was surprised, but also excited for him. I mean, get fired up when he gets fired up. How can you not? I mean, that guy just loves being on the field playing the game. So, and he's the only guy that hit last night. So
he seems, listening to that answer that he gave earlier, you hear about people sometimes that forget where they came from. He does not seem like the guy that's ever going to forget where he came from.
No. Nope.
Because he brings it up all the time, like, you know, about how happy he is, how proud he is to have the life he has now.
He also seems like a guy that's getting better as a hitter when I don't think anyone anticipated that. if you factor
in. Oh, he used to chase the rosin bag. Boddicker said that. I've said that. There's times that he's just like, goodness, man. Way better.
But look at last year.
Taking some walks.
And then this year.
Yeah. Maturing as a hitter.
Because last year, I think everyone, we were all Dave Armstrong. We were all wowed by the offensive numbers he put up. But it's, small sample size, funny season. You want to embrace it, but you're like, But then if he starts to back, okay, he's walking a little bit more.
He has as many walks this year as he had all of last year.
Right. So, but then when you add that.
37 games last year.
But you add that with what he did last year, he's just maturing as a hitter. And maybe I don't know how long he can be effective behind the plate and at the plate. But, I mean, we always wanted, I always wanted the Royals to have their Pudge Rodriguez or the Royals to have their Yadier Molina. How old is Yadier Molina now?
36.
And he's still performing at a high level.
Yep.
He's still a good hitter.
He's built a little bit different than Salvi.
Well, yeah, right, and it's right. Salvi's longer. And,
Pudge, same way. Pudge built a little bit different. But
Pudge was the other things that were a little different. But the point is, and I'm not saying he's going to be this at 36, but it gives you hope maybe, and I go back to this, and you tell me if this is crazy. Him missing the whole year with his elbow with Tommy John surgery.
Might have helped.
That took a lot of miles off his legs.
Agreed.
And he didn't catch for a whole year. And it's not, you don't want a guy to get hurt, but we see pitchers come back from Tommy John surgery and they're better than before. And so his arm's better, and he didn't have to, and then last year, only having, an abbreviated season. Sure. And so for 2 years, and what have you always said, Nate, that's a guy that they have to beg to stop playing baseball.
Yeah.
Please don't play any more baseball. Please take a break. He was forced to take a break, and maybe that puts some gas back in the tank?
I think there's no doubt it does, especially at that time frame of where he's at in his career, to take a little bit of a rest in the middle of that with the pandemic and with being hurt. I think it's only going to help and only going to create a little bit more longevity. To me, he's built more like Sandy Alomar Jr.
Yes, exactly that.
And Sandy did it for a long time. So I like it. And I think he's more in tune about, what kind of workouts he's doing in the winter to put himself in a position to be able to do the things that he wants to do on the field. He doesn't want to DH. He doesn't probably want to play much first base. He doesn't want to do that. So everything that he can do in the offseason to keep him on the field from a catching standpoint, and I'm sure everybody else wants him catching because they don't want him in the dugout. Mac was kind of that way, too. I'll give Mac all the crap in the world.
Was he a red ass in there?
Man, nonstop. Like, good God, dude. Thank God I was in the bullpen 95%
Give me an example. Like, what's he wearing people out about what? The game?
Chattering, always around and all that stuff. Some people don't like that. I think it's great, man. That keeps everybody in tune in the dugout and that kind of things. And, two outs, 2-0. Two outs, 2-0. Pay attention to it. Just little things that stick with me to this day that Mac used to say in the dugout when he wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I loved it. A lot of people don't love that, so. But Salvi's that.
That's because there's a bunch of crusty, cranky people in baseball sometimes,
More and more, it seems they don't even know what the hell's going on.
It's like...
Yeah. Thank you, Mac, for that kind of energy when you're not in the game.
Baseball is a sport where you have to manufacture some energy. It's not like other sports.
A lot of standing around.
Yeah, there's a lot of standing around, and it's every single night. It is a grind, and to me, it's like I never understood the guys that want to... Hey, save your energy. It's like, no, you got to manufacture some energy out here. Keep everybody focused. Keep everybody involved. I love guys that do that. One thing, a couple things about Salvi, too. To go back to what you were saying about him hitting, I don't know, Bluma, if you felt this way. It was kind of poetic that his 1,000th hit was the type of at-bat that it was because Cobb was dealing. And the Royals had no – they were
baffled
by that.
That's what I was just thinking a minute ago, too. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's as good as I've seen Cobb look in years.
That split
like,
finger?
Wow. Yeah, Fosh change, split thing.
Whatever they were calling – they were doing a good job on the broadcast of illustrating how that thing just was dropping the dropping
nasty.
Off. And the players were having a tough time identifying it. Looked like a strike, and then they'd swing right over the top of it over and over again. And the thing you always hear hitters tell you is – you got to spit on that pitch and make him elevate. Once he elevates, then you do some damage. And that's exactly what Salvi did. He was really patient at that at-bat, even when he had two strikes, and fouled off a couple, if I remember correctly, and then he got a pitch up, and he drilled it. And that's That's a professional at-bat right there.
Well, we need more people in our lineup to be taking his approach. I'm concerned about the amount of strikeouts that we've got going on right now.
Yes.
Especially with some of the guys in the lineup that we have that are supposed to have better at-bats and supposed to be putting the ball in play, and the Isbells and the Lopez's, and I don't know.
Did you guys see that Solera struck out 8 straight plate appearances?
Yeah, he ended the streak.
He did. He got a hit.
Well, I was just going to say, with that being said, he did a pretty good job of making an adjustment on that pitch to get the 2 RBIs. But, yeah, I was watching the game on Sunday, and he talked about swinging at the rosin bag.
Yeah.
Seemed like he's just wailing at everything. So,
And he has
seen him go
like
through
that.
Stretches yeah. like that, though, his whole career. But then we'll also see him hit 5 home runs in 6 games. So.
But it just that at-bat really hit me, because with Salvi, I feel like younger Salvi – that's a strikeout.
Right.
You know, he can't lay off some of those pitches. And to back up your point, Steven, he seems like he's evolving as a hitter. And I think that guys also, Jamie, you're talking about him learn how to take care of his body. Do guys also kind of learn how to try hard in the major leagues, to where it's like, okay, I've got to keep myself healthy for 162 games. Does that make sense? Like, I remember talking to Ray Sanchez about that. That was a real issue for him for a long time in his career. And he's like, I had to start to realize that I'm not actually diving for that one, because I want to stay on the field. And I have to pick my spots and learn how to be.
You do. That's even tougher as a catcher.
Yeah.
You know, because you're in it. You're in it every pitch, every game, it's hard to dial it down when you're a catcher.
Yeah.
I can see that as an outfielder. Bryce Harper was like that early in his career a little bit.
Crashing into the wall for
all
balls
that kind
he had
of
no
stuff.
Chance on.
There's a few guys. I mean, we're going to deal with that with a few guys on this team. Mondesi's like that a little bit.
But the White Sox wish that Eloy Jimenez wasn't like that, crashing into the wall.
Well, that's in a spring training game,
and right. he's out for maybe the whole year.
On a home run that he really had no shot at catching.
Right.
You know,
in a game that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, that's you don't want to take that away from a guy,
right.
though. I mean,
right.
that's the hard thing. But as a catcher, it's doubly difficult as a catcher, especially when you're a guy that's like Salvi that wants to play every single day. But Salvi's not the type of guy that's going to be laying out to catch pop ups. That's not Salvi,
right.
just because he's not super fast or anything like that. So he's going to keep doing what he's doing. He's getting smarter. I think we see it from a hitting standpoint. I think he's getting more mature as a, here's what I need to do in the offseason to create some longevity for not only now that I've got this contract. I don't know if he thinks of it like that, but he wants to get out there and try to play 150 games, if not catch 130 of them.
And I think the forced time off, like you said, this time of his career ends up in the long run, it will benefit him. It just it has to, because we talk about how many innings has he caught. But he took a good amount of time off. And maybe that helped the rest of his body heal and everything else, and now he's a fresher player than he was before then, you know?
Well, for sure. And I just think as it's a natural evolution for a lot of guys in every sport to, hey, when you're young, you can get away with some dietary habits that you can't get away with when you're older. You start to look at your career and go, man, I really love playing. And I bet you it just aided him like crazy being forced out. That's another thing, too. And it probably makes you sit there and prioritize a little bit. Okay, what kind of things do I need to do to stay on the field, because I like to play?
I don't want this to happen again. So how can I give myself the best chance of staying out there?
Well, and I think in this day and age, too, there's so many different options as far as workout, nutrition, diet, strength and conditioning. It seems like hundreds of different...
Peloton.
Different stuff that
Jake
can do.
Loves it.
There you go.
The strikeouts. Let's for a moment focus on this. Alec Lewis tweeted this out. Luma, does this bother you? They struck out 14 times last night. That's 53 strikeouts in the last 4 games.
Oof.
88 in 8 games.
Way too many.
It's more than you thought, huh?
It's even more than I thought.
Jumps off the page at you.
Well, and it was Cobb. You know, we're not facing Kershaw. And
like, if it's Bieber, like, I get it.
All right,
okay,
Bieber's
fine,
in there.
Whatever.
Bieber's in there.
All right, Biebs.
But it's not that crew. You know, we're not facing those guys day in, day out. We're facing the Cobbs and some of those. So that's concerning. I mean, I miss the days of keep the line moving and, you know, at bats and put the ball in play. Unfortunately, that's our game's trending in the wrong direction overall, kind of the same way it seems like we're trending. Strikeout or homer, or no action, all that kind of thing. I mean, I would rather we have you know, better at bats, put the ball in play, make something happen, than strike out. I think it's concerning.
And the funny thing is, last time I looked at it, I'm going to look it up real quick, but the last time I looked at it, the Royals, like, were in the bottom third in the American League in strikeouts. Like, it's...
Well, God, who's striking out more than we are
Well, and
there's only been 10 games.
I mean, part of it is, the start of the season, the Royals weren't so bad at striking out. It's just over these last four games in particular, the Texas Rangers have struck out 112 times as a team. The Royals are 11th in the American League in strikeouts with 88. Now, they played fewer games than almost everybody, so I don't know where it would be if you look out strikeouts per game. I'd have to do the math on that. But the point is, like you said, this game...
It's 11 strikeouts a game. That's a lot.
Yeah, these teams don't care.
I don't think anybody cares.
I hate to say it, but they don't care if their guys strike out that much. And I still don't understand it personally. Because, and I mean, stat guys have tried to explain it to me. It's just over my head. I'm not smart enough as a stat guy to grasp the concept. But to me, it floors me that somehow strikeouts are a really good thing if you're a pitcher. But they're just, they're not a bad thing if you're a hitter. Shouldn't it be,
That's a great thing for pitchers.
Yeah, like if it's a great thing for a pitcher, shouldn't it be a bad thing for the hitter?
Right, you would think.
I mean, that just seems to me like those two things should equate. But they're like, no, it's different because the pitcher's taking the probability out of it and the hitters, it's all about launch angle. And I'm like, okay, well, if I want pitchers to strike guys out, then I think I'd want hitters that don't strike out.
What's that voice again?
Get my calculator out and...
Well, Jake really likes it. I want you to know that. Jake really...
I like Nate hacking on stat guys.
He really gets a kick out of that. Okay, Bluma, let's go with the eye test now. There were a lot of errors. All right, a lot of errors yesterday. But what did you... how do you think Brady Singer looked?
I didn't get to see the first part of the game when he was in the game. But it sounded like from... I got texts from a few different people last night. Said, man, Singer's throwing his tail off and we're kicking the ball around. And I heard Nate on the way in like, yeah, it's guys that are going to be playing good defense and already have been playing good defense for you all year. So maybe that's a bit of a fluke with it being Lopez and who was it in the outfield?
Michael Taylor.
Oh, Taylor.
And Singer. He had his own error.
Right.
His own error.
So I don't know. Just bad situation. One game. I mean, he's throwing the ball good. I like his stuff. Striking out guys, not walking guys. We kick the ball around a little bit. That's not going to happen that often. This is a good defensive team as overall.
Especially those guys.
Right.
Like Nate said,
those
Taylor
two guys I'm not
and
worried about.
Nicky Lowe. And to his defense, that's not Nicky's primary position. He's playing shortstop. He's a lockdown defender at second base, but, you know, he's still out there.
That being said, I think Singer did a good enough job to keep us in the game, not let it get out of hand with hits and all that kind of stuff. So... and then we scratch back and get within one run. And then Barlow, who's been lights out, wasn't lights out last night. So, and I don't know if that's – you can't put that in there that he doesn't – you know, it wasn't a save opportunity because we were behind. But that's a high-leverage situation.
One-run game.
And that's the game that he wants to be in. And just bad timing for him to give up his first runs of the season.
No, it's my fault because yesterday I said I had more faith in him than anyone in the bullpen right now. And so he immediately went out and gave up three runs.
Hey,
I'll take it.
It's the life of a bullpen guy. You know, you're going to have your bad outings every once in a while. It's just part of the deal.
I will say this. I mean, I know going into this season or even into this series, I'm like, all right, man, we're better than the Angels, man. Then their lineup's pretty good.
I
even
watch
the guys that you don't
team,
you know Trout's good, you know Tani's been good, yada yada yada. Pujols is what he is.
Underrated in that lineup.
But I tell you what, man, the
David
bottom
Fletcher.
Part, absolutely. And Walsh, did you see his numbers from?
No, he raked last year
to finish the year. Yes, and I mean that's Upton. He'll hit a mistake still.
Upton here. Shout out, rest in peace, DMX.
And I like Suzuki. I know he came in for Stassi when Stassi got hurt, but I've been playing against Suzuki. Was with the Anchorage Bucks when I was coaching up for the Anchorage Pilots way back when in 03-04 up in Alaska, a kid out of Fullerton. So I've been so excited that he's had a long career just because I liked how he played the game way back when in college.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to, if he stays healthy, that back-to-back Ohtani and Trout, that's going to be a problem all season long.
And that was the hardest hit ball in the major leagues this year.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
119 mile per hour exit velocity.
Did you hear the sound of it during the game?
He was on fire. Like, Buster was raving about him during spring. And it's going to be very interesting to like, what they do with him. Right. You know, because he can pitch so well, but you don't want to take him out of the lineup. You don't want to take him from his hitting, and I'm just like, and you don't want him to get hurt. You know, and so it's almost like you get to the point of like, you know what, don't worry about pitching. You are a mainstay in this lineup. But then he pitches.
Let him
like,
go pitch every 5 days. That's fine,
right?
But let him play.
But he got hurt last. I mean, you get. It's. He's awesome. He's fantastic.
You have to keep him in there, period.
Yeah. Do you have to pitch him?
When you got a guy with stuff like his, absolutely, you do.
How much did they pay for him? How much is this contract? He's unbelievable.
It's tied up with the posting fee and all that stuff, so I don't know.
They paid $20 million for his rights. That's before they even paid him.
Right.
That's an everyday occurrence in the world of soccer. Like, that's where you pay other teams $20 million.
No, but I mean, like, numbers that, like, so what? What would you pay, you know?
Well, heck yeah.
Mm.
I just wish he would have gotten that $20 million. He does not get that money.
No, he's getting paid just fine.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that. But
see,
talent.
That's the thing when sports become global. And there are multiple leagues out there that have good players. You're going to see more and more of that type of thing.
Sure.
I mean, it's common, like I said, in soccer, teams are paying each other teams for players all the time.
Back-to-back lineup, you have the most talented player in the game and the best player in the game.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I think the Royals have to compete with a team like that by having, you know, just more length in their lineup. Like, they're not going to have the, you know, the girth.
Jesus.
In the middle, it's going to be more about the length of the lineup.
No, but like a dude like Fletcher, he had, 376 on base last year. I mean, he doesn't get the headlines, but a good leadoff hitter, underrated player.
Yep.
Get on base with those two. Score a lot of runs, man. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch. But, as Nate said, maybe the Royals lineup can prove to be deeper. I use different words than you did.
That's a better word.
Using some very descriptive words that were somewhat puzzling. But I get it.
You understand what I was trying to say.
You feel good about it. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This was my walkout song at Wichita State.
Was it really?
It was.
That's fantastic. Yeah. You never told me that.
Yep. When's the decision?
Friday.
A big couple days. I'm ready for the bourbon draw on Thursday.
Yeah.
A lot of tickets purchased.
How many tickets you purchased?
Better,
throw it out there. Just say
you
it.
You better. At least 300.
Well, you son of a gun. Yeah, if you don't win, then something's going on.
So I bought some. Red, White, and Bluma bought some because whatever I win from the Red, White, and Bluma side will go up for auction at Bloomapalooza.
The ticket sales ended last night at 7 o'clock, but
there's a rumor Gary's taking the night off. He's going to show up.
So when did all this happen?
It's in the works.
He took a beating from Mike Boddicker.
Who that? Gary, he should have. I would like to be able to make it over there, but I didn't get invited. So
yeah, me either.
Wow. So, all right, so we'll be distancing. Somewhere else.
Listening. Social distancing.
We'll be listening.
There's a limit on people.
Yeah.
Broadcast auction tonight, too. You know, that's going on during the...
Boddicker was actually calling to invite Nate, but then heard he left Hal McCray off the list and said,
ouch.
What were you going to say now? What auction?
The broadcast auction.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The deal, so excited about
you going to bid on something? You're a bidding fool. You going to bid on that, too?
I don't know. I'll ask. I'm trying to get some of the things that they do on there to get donated to Bloomapalooza because I want to kind of, I always have good stuff for sale at Bloomapalooza, but I want to get to the experiences. You know, there's a couple things last year. The Natchez weekend experience went well with that at Bloomapalooza. Get some more instead of solid items that you can put on your shelf.
I'm still pissed off. I got outbid for the Cheech and Chong package that you had.
I know a guy might be available. Got another one this year. Has to do with Cobra Kai.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're talking. All of a sudden, Jake's putting a mask and walking off, so I don't know.
Are we under quarantine?
Where's he going?
I don't know. He's out.
We were going to play something, but now he's leaving. No. What?
I was going to go use the restroom.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought something happened. 6 a.m. Go.
No, we'll play.
Is it going to be a long trip? Or?
I mean, it'll...
I thought something was wrong. Like, no, there's nothing and you're wrong. Waving, you're like, I got to go. I'm out of here.
It's a great day today. Great day, woo. I got.
Can
that
I just play
up.
Something? Yeah, I don't know why I'm playing this.
It's fantastic.
I saw a clip of Harry Carey.
It's beautiful.
Harry Carey.
First off, anytime we get Harry Carey
in a commercial for delicious Mexican food products.
Right.
Okay.
Would you like?
I would love to hear it.
It's old school.
Yeah, it is old school. It's beautiful. Here we go.
Let's hear it.
Harry Carey.
Hello again, everybody. This is Harry Carey. You know, working a ball game really makes me hungry. And when I'm hungry, I can't help but think of the great Mexican foods made with La Preferida products. Just as a home run adds excitement to a baseball game, La Preferida sauces add excitement to your meal. If you want to hit a grand slam for your team, simply serve up a tasty dish made with La Preferida food. Holy cow, what a meal!
He's biting into a taco at the
end.
Oh,
yeah, it's beautiful.
I love hearing the old clips. How does a guy lose a ball in the sun?
I mean, if you're
a country where the sun shines 320 days a year.
It's taco night. I'm going to go to the store. I don't know what to get. Then you see that commercial. Well, you better believe you're going to get the products that Harry Carey is standing
behind. I buy those kind of jalapenos
speaking
all the time.
Of tacos,
now you feel great about that, don't you?
Speaking
absolutely.
Of tacos, is there a KCK taco trail?
Yes.
Yes.
How am I just hearing about this?
It's relatively new, but it's
Forbes,
you know.
Magazine just wrote an article that proclaimed Kansas City, Kansas as the taco capital of America. Okay.
Yeah. Emily and I had some friends in town, and that was what they were
What you need to do.
Doing the taco trail.
If you ever went on a real taco trail.
I'm going with you on the taco trail somewhere.
You go northeast on Independence Avenue.
Okay.
And you just drive up and down Independence Avenue, and it would take you weeks to go through all the fine restaurants there. And then I want you to go to the west side.
Okay.
You know.
I need you to write some things down.
We'll get Hugo Malgoza to take you
around
there.
Well, I ran into your dad at one spot, and he got mad at me.
Not at all.
Which Pollo one? Ray.
Oh, yeah? Why was he mad? Just because he...
Well, you're in my spot. Oh, okay, Bloomer, what are you doing in my spot?
My dad likes to think that he has something that nobody else knows about. But I'm the one that told him about that. I took him there. Right?
I haven't seen him in a while.
And that's on Kansas Avenue. And then you go to Kansas Avenue, make your way around there.
Your dad did come up at lunch yesterday because we had lunch at the Shemeca's Deli.
And so he went?
16th and Swift. No, but I was with some people when we all had gone, and your dad was telling stories. And the quote was, when they put you in the trunk, you got a problem.
Well.
Yeah. So that was that. Something might be amiss once they put you in the trunk. So we were laughing about those stories. So anyway, Schmeck was yesterday.
A lot of things that could mean from him, and I'm not sure.
Nothing
that
better
I want to talk
than
about
when we were with Jarrett Sutton after your thing at UMKC, and your dad was telling me the T-Rex story and
oh my god, that's fabulous.
That's one of the better ones. I've
hey,
ever
he
heard.
Served time with a lot of really interesting people.
I miss your dad.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
What inside joke? So the point is, KCK, West Side, Northeast, bam, 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 and just keep going and rotating. And you, I don't know, maybe a year, and you still ain't it. Had all the tacos you could have.
I want to.
You still ain't done.
I'd like to do that soon. Once things start to continue to get better.
What's your place?
Back up a little bit.
We like Ninfas.
Ninfas is tremendous.
We like Reinas. We like El Pollo Rey. We like, you know, but then in the Northeast, man. Oh, up and down in Pennsylvania. I haven't been in the West Side. You know, I've been seeing it El Pablito in early hours in the morning. I don't know. You know,
San Antonio's down on Kansas Avenue.
Oh, I've been there.
Tremendous.
I love that place just because there's 17 different things going on.
Nate, Jake, and I, and of course, Jake was the former king of Mexican products in Kansas City, Kansas. We'll put together a list.
Okay.
I'll put some names on there. Nate will put some names on there. Jake will put some names on there. And then you're good to go.
Have we made any traction on the group getting together? Is that a bad subject?
Look right there.
We talk
you see
about
no one there.
He's
that's the answer.
In the bathroom. Okay.
Now let me ask you about this bullpen, because from what my records show, you were a reliever, so you got some good insight into this. First of all, since he was brought in the first time where Carlos Santana bailed him out, I was very curious as to why Jesse Hahn was being used in high leverage situations. And then after watching him, he didn't look right. And you're thinking, like, I was really puzzled that they brought him in again in a one. I know they had used a lot of guys before and everything else. I understand, but here he is again in a one run game, and you know, walk, home run, walk. But then we find out that there's an issue with his shoulder, and it's bad enough to where he's put on the IL. And of course, you know about pitching out of the bullpen, and you know about your shoulder barking at you. So shoulder impingement.
That doesn't sound good. Anytime you hear that does not sound good. And Hans or whoever put him in the game, whether it was Matheny's decision or it was pitching coach's decision, obviously it's a joint deal. They are only as smart as what the reliever says. Hey, how you feel today? Are you good to go? You always have that discussion before every game. You know, where's everybody at? You know, da 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 da. And everybody's good to go. How do you feel? Good. So they have to take guys' word for it because we're the only ones that know how our arms actually feel. And maybe he was barking. Obviously, he was barking. Things were not 100%, but he figured he could go out there and try to grind it out. And then afterwards, no. I went through the same thing when I ended up suffering an injury. Like, oh, man, I'm going to go out here and try to grind it out. I'm not trying to be a sissy. I want to figure this out. And you go out there and then realize the difference between sore and actually injured. And that's where we're at now. So anytime you hear impingement, that's never a good term, especially shoulder wise. We've had this discussion about shoulder versus elbow many times.
Give me the elbow.
How many? Right. I mean, when you have Tommy John, they end up, you know, putting something better back in there than you had to start with. But there's also a whole lot of other things that can go on in your elbow with your flexor tendon, and there's just a lot of moving parts in any arm, shoulder, elbow that can break down.
But sometimes with a shoulder, you don't even, no matter how many tests you take, you don't know until you get in there.
Right.
Well,
and then shoulder turns into thoracic. Who just had thoracic outlet a couple days ago with another team?
Rosenthal.
There you go. He'd been lights out, and then now he's down. So good luck to Jesse Hahn. I said this 3 weeks ago. We're going to need 25 pitchers this year when it's all said and done. So Newberry, whoever's next. I've been impressed with Brent so far. I know this is his fourth organization. His stuff's unbelievable.
It's electric. It's just command. That's all. If he can command it, they got something.
And so far, so good. And I said this before.
He's a left-hander and he throws 100.
Not many of those guys out there. So we have to be able to capitalize on some of the guys that we have gotten each year. You can call it lightning in a bottle. You can call it good scouting. You can call it whatever. You get guys and you get them in here, and whatever you do with them, either mentally or physically or both, to be able to get them to be productive relievers.
Right now, who is the best Royals reliever?
I would say Staumont. Now, it's different than I was last week. I watched Holland pitch the last couple times out. He just doesn't look sharp. Now, he's gotten the job done for the most part.
He's gutting his way through these outings.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. I see that. And
he's double tough.
So you can still continue to go out and get guys out, but I think long term maybe Staumont might be the guy.
But I'm going to say something else.
But Barlow's actually looked fantastic, and that's the first runs he's given up. Welcome to the life of a reliever.
Nate, do you have your numbers there? Can you look run numbers? Did I make that up, or did he lead the league in appearances last year? My point is he go out there and he serves a number of roles. And he can use him multiple innings. He's like a utility knife out there in the bullpen. I like him a lot, you know. But here's the name. I'm glad Jake's gone.
Zimmer's looked great, too.
Jake is mad when I do this. Kyle Zimmer, future closer.
Possible. It's about how's his makeup.
Or sit-up man.
When it comes up to something like that.
It's
going to be one of those two.
Tell me I'm wrong about this. But any guy that's gone through what he has, and he's still there, and now he's to the point where not only has he finally reached the majors and made the team, he's carved out a prominent role in the bullpen. There's a lot of guys that at this point maybe would have walked away or maybe wouldn't have been able to put everything back together, as many roadblocks as he's had. So doesn't that say a lot about him mentally?
I will say this too. Yes, a lot. And take a guy like Liam Hendricks that we just watched pitch against us.
He's a pitch for the Royals.
Yes, he did.
He looked like an elite closer then?
He was no, he was not. He was just a guy. We didn't even really know he was on the team. And then 3 years later, he's throwing sinkers at 97, and he puts together two great years, and he's one of the most sought-after guys in the offseason.
It's crazy.
That's how crazy it can happen with these guys that get healthy, even if it's for a short period of time, for a good stretch, that can completely change their career path. Mm-hmm. You know? And so Zimmer's come back from all these different injuries, maladies, and now he's – you hope he's past that, man, I'm just happy to be here stage. Take a deep breath. I'm healthy. And start going, and hopefully, hey, he ends up being a guy, if not for a year or 2 years, 3 or 4 years. Like, you know, you hope for it's longer than that, but history tells us guys break down, you know, and then you try to strike while the iron is hot. Liam Hendricks, perfect example.
And I'm not going to
finally make life-changing money.
It's funny, you see these guys that the Royals had, and the Royals have had an eye for bullpen talent, but like Liam Hendricks is considered an elite closer now for a contending team in the White Sox. Will Smith, he's a closer for the freaking Braves. Remember Will Smith? Mm-hmm. People are like, I don't know, is he a starter? Is he a reliever? He's just going to be a guy? Hey, closing for the Braves.
I don't think that's just an indictment on the Royals either.
You
can pick anybody from anybody's staff and say, hey, look where this guy used to be. Why didn't they figure it out?
Not just
the Royals.
Right,
Because
he went to Milwaukee, and then he went to San Francisco, and then he went to Atlanta. My point is, the path for these guys isn't always hot prospect, now he's a stud in the bullpen.
It changes a lot.
Did anyone think Will Smith was going to be considered a good closer for a competing team when you saw him?
Here? No.
No. Did anyone see Liam Hendricks and think, man, this guy needs to close? No. Like, this guy needs to not pitch, I would think. And now he's the closer for the White Sox.
Right.
That's why we've been talking about this. It's so volatile. And like for Jesse Hahn, it's not crazy to think, well, this is his fourth organization. He never stays healthy. But he could turn into an effective reliever here. He did last year, but he never stays healthy. Now he's unhealthy again.
Well, and some people are saying that right now with Brent. Oh, man.
Right.
Well,
fourth
he couldn't
organization.
Do it for anybody.
Right.
Oh, look what now he's at the Royals doing what he's
and
doing.
That's
for now,
the
knock
point.
On wood.
He's got tremendous stuff. But just because he's on his fourth organization doesn't mean he can't find it here and become a good reliever.
Absolutely.
It's just bullpens are so volatile, and it's wild to see some of these guys, their path to where they finally end up being successful.
And Barlow did lead the majors in appearances last year with 32. By the way, Greg Holland was tied for sixth with 28 last year.
It still blows my mind that he came back and was that effective last year.
Yeah.
How does Wade Davis look to you?
I think he looks okay.
Does that not blow your mind, too? Like, as bad as he's been the last couple days back? I mean,
guys get healthy, you know?
Did you think in the year of our Lord 2021 we'd be talking about Greg Holland and Wade Davis with prominent roles in the Royals bullpen? If I'd have told you that like 3 years ago.
Wade Davis, no. 3 years ago, absolutely neither one of them.
Right.
But after seeing Greg a little bit last year start to right the ship a little bit, I was hoping I wanted Rosenthal back too, the way he threw the ball for us.
So did I, and that
God we didn't get him back. And maybe somebody knew something that we did not.
Again, the volatility of bullpen arms.
Right. Of arms in general.
Do you guys think it's too much for me to ask the Royals to sign Kelvin Herrera? Am I barking up the wrong tree? I mean, why not? Just bring him back. I don't care if he's in shape or health. Just bring him back.
Minor league
just
deal.
To hang out? And
just sit him in the dugout just so I can see it. Just so I can feel like he's... Hey.
He's a pitch for a while.
Jake, you almost spit up your coffee. Why not?
I can be a good influence in the locker
Where's
room.
Where's Hochaver?
Let's bring them all back.
Hunting
that's
somewhere.
That's another great story of a guy that whose career...
And turned into a good reliever.
Took a long, winding road and then was a dominant reliever for a while there.
Just bring back. I don't even want him to pitch. Just bring Herrera back. Just put him on the bullpen, something.
Just
have him sit out there. Season tickets. I don't care, whatever.
You get a cutout of him and put it in the bullpen?
Right. Bloom, can you tell people how to get a hold of you? Or
I can.
Give your cell number this week?
No, okay. If you have any ability to find out information, you can get my cell phone number from somewhere.
But how can people get a hold of you for lessons?
913-320-4404, Homefield Olathe on Facebook, or Homefield Kansas City. Bundy Jr. 19 on Twitter.
You see this guy itching and scratching like a dog in there at his beard. He's in there.
Baseball's
the whole
in full
last
swing.
10 minutes in there. Digging and you got something in there
the
or what?
Bird living.
Is
in there.
Is food in there?
We have a power washer.
I washed it this morning.
Yeah, see.
So it's a little itchy.
It's itchy and scratchy. That's Jamie Bluma. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.